topic today is the concept of Ner Havdalah. So get the Siman of Shulchan Aruch. So if you can get a Siman of Shulchan Aruch, you can get a shear. The connection to the parsha is pretty obvious because I'll say that the Gemara in Pesachim says that Adam Rishon, after he sinned, he goes into Shabbos. And during Shabbos, the original ore, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Bria, is still there. So it's still light. After Shabbos ends, it starts coming dark. So now he has darkness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Deya into Adam Rishon's mind, gave him the thought to take two stones and to rub them together, and the result was Eish. There's another opinion in the Midrash that the Rishon actually sent down Eish. There's a language of a Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was supposed to be created Erev Shabbos, and Hashem waited until Matzoy Shabbos to create it, but here we have that the Rosh Hashanah created the Eish on Matzoy Shabbos. So in Zecher of that, the Gemara says, we light a Ner, make a bracha on Matzoy Shabbos. There's a Machlokes in the Rishonim. What type of bracha is this? We know that there are different types of brachas. There are brachas and brachas and mitzvahs, which this is not a brachas and mitzvahs. It doesn't say Sher Kinshom, it's obviously Vanu. There are brachas which are brachas nehenin. We make a bracha when we benefit from something. And then there are brachas which are brachas hashemach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the thunder, for the lightning, for we see the ocean, etc. So what type of bracha is this? So one argument would be, we could argue it's a brachas nehenin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us light, we're able to benefit tremendously from the light, and we make a bracha on the ability for us to create light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it gives us the sun, we make a bracha for that. We make a bracha for that, for the ma'aris. But the human beings can make artificial light and create our own light. It's a special hanoah that the Rosh Hashanah gave us. Therefore, the Sefer HaMichtam and the Gemara Pesachim says that the bracha is a bracha in the henin. Tosfos over there disagrees. Excuse me. Tosfos disagrees with the Rosh. With the Michtam and the Rosh and others, and say that it's a birchas hashevach. It's a bracha praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created this ability to generate light, heat, etc. Now, actually, the Iker bracha is to be for generating light. If you lit this near, not for the purpose of light, but lit it, sometimes we light candles just in honor of the occasion. We light candles for the purpose for a mitzvah. Sometimes you light a candle for a mitzvah, a candle lit for the purpose of cooking, a candle lit for the purpose of heat. So all of those you would not make a bracha. The bracha has to be a bracha which is made for the purpose of eish. So a person doesn't have anything available. He has his gas stovetop, so which is used for the function of not for light but for heat, for cooking. You would not make a bracha barat mir ha'eish on that. So Rav Moshe discusses, we have these two opinions in the Rishonim, so that he says that we should have an interesting question, exactly what is the right, correct order, how to make, to now the Gemara says that there's a discussion in the Gemara whether you have to actually benefit from the light, and the final opinion of the Gemara is that you don't have to benefit from the light, you have to be close enough that you could theoretically benefit from the light, you don't have to actually benefit from the light, but it is a mitzvah to benefit from the light. Which one of the rishonim that the Rishonim say that it can't be a brachas and a henin, because brachas and a henin, you always have to say the bracha in a way that you're benefiting. But still, as the mitzvah says, it's a brachas and a henin. So the difference between a brachas and a henin and a brachas hashevach, we know, is that a brachas and a henin, you always make the bracha before you benefit. And brachas hashevach, you always make the bracha comes afterwards. You look at the ocean, and then you make the bracha. You don't shut your eyes, cover the ocean, shut your eyes, and make the bracha, and open your eyes and see the ocean. You look at the ocean, you make the bracha. You look at a mountain, a very high mountain. You look at it, you make the bracha. So is the order that you should look at the near and then make the bracha, or you should, or the bracha is the first. First be Nehenna, be close enough that you should be Nehenna and then make the bracha, or it should be the order that first you should make the bracha and then be Nehenna. So Moshe Nechuba says that really you should do both. Because of this machlokes, you should do both. So you actually look at he suggests looking at we use the process of benefiting by being able to differentiate, using the light to differentiate on our hands. And we'll talk about that in a second. He suggests to do it twice, once before the bracha, once after the bracha. It's clear in Lacha that you're allowed to benefit from the light beforehand. So it's not a regular bracha, it's an issur, being the henna before. That type of bracha, it's not. that you can't benefit, you can't eat first and make a bracha afterwards, you have to make a bracha before you eat. Over here, you're allowed to benefit beforehand. But that being said, the correct order would be, still he suggests you should do both. Interesting, Tzakur Moshe. So how do we do this process? The Morris says that you have to be close enough to able to use the light to differentiate between two different types of coins. The Morris mentions the name of the coins. I once heard from Rabbi Shimon Deutsch from the Living Torah Museum that we now actually have those coins, and we found exactly what those coins look like, so you can tell them, understand what level of differentiation we're talking about. They're different in size, so they don't have to be very close, apparently. If the Morris said that you have to be close enough to be able to differentiate between these two different types of coins, and we actually now have the coins, we found them, and we're able to prove what they look like. So it's not that close that you have to be able to benefit that. From a distance, obviously, you can't really tell the different sizes of coins. But close up, or not even immediately next to it, if the difference was just the coinage itself, what it looks like, you have to be very close. Size, you can differentiate even from a further distance.
It's not like telling the difference between a Canadian quarter and an American quarter, basically.
Right. It's more along the lines of telling between a half dollar and a nickel. That's about the difference in size. He showed us the coins once. We were there. But the Torah says the meaning nowadays is to use our hands and differentiate in the hands between looking at the fingernails and looking at the flesh. The Ramah says that a pikabola, you're not supposed to look at the actual palm of the hands. That's why these people cover over their fingers. And we see two differences. We see the difference between the flesh and the fingernail, and the difference between the light and the darkness, because the shadow which is created by the finger is over the palm of the hand. You're supposed to keep your thumb in. You ask me why, I don't know, but that's what it says. I don't start up. There's interesting Bach. The Bach says that you look at your fingernails, and the bottom, at the base of your fingernails, we have the little half moon that you have at least in some of your fingernails. He says that there's a famous medrash that the medrash says that before the Chedar Rishon, the Adam Rishon was cloaked in this type of garment. It says that actually, but the neshama was able to shine through, and the zecher of that is that little half moon of that little whiteness which is shining through at the base of the fingernail. The Bach says, and that's why we look at that to be able to see that we still have some little zecher of that type of shining through that Adam Rishon was able to have before the Chet. If a person's hearing Havdalah from somebody else and he's not close enough to actually benefit, it would prefer not to be Yotze with the Bidi Evid Yar Yotze, because even if you're not Nehenna, as long as you're close enough to be Nehenna, you'd be Yotze. But even though you weren't Nehenna, but if you're not close, if you could actually do it yourself, it would be better. Therefore, a person should not be Yotze with the Bracha of the Ma'avdil. Be Yotze the Bracha of the Ma'avdil Havdalah, but the Bracha of Ner, the Morris says, really is not connected to the Bracha of Havdalah directly. The Mora says there's actually a different opinion. Some of the Amoroyim said it on the Kois, and some said it not on the Kois. They said it separately. And you can't say it separately. A person doesn't have a Nair. He can say Havdalah earlier on, and then make a Bracha on the Nair later on, as long as it's Motzei Shabbos still. There is a Mitzvah to Misadar LaKois. If you have an option of waiting a little bit till you get a Kois, then you would make with the, we'd wait for the Birchus Nair as well. And again, you can be in the Hennah from the Nair before that.
Your Yotzi Helfas Havdalah, you eat after making Havdalah and then make Eishalei?
Correct. But if you know, let's say the opposite, the person doesn't have any wine right now, he can make a Birchus Nair, and, or he doesn't have any wine or Chamar Medino. So he can make a Birchus Nair and make Havdalah later on. But if he knows he's going to get wine later on, he really should. Birchus Nair is only Motzei Shabbos. A person, for whatever reason, didn't say Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, so he'll say Havdalah the next day. But Birchus Nair is only Motzei Shabbos, so you don't want to lose that. That goes to Lulav Shachar. So you have really the whole night. So if you're afraid you're going to lose that, you would want to. Now, since you want to benefit from the light, it would make sense to, nowadays, because we have electric lights, it's difficult to really benefit unless you turn off the lights. So it would make sense, I can't say it's a halachic requirement, but it would make sense to turn off the light to make that possible.
Rabbi, does the fact that we do Birchus Nair after Yom Kippur, is that related at all to the machlokas of whether it's a Birchus or Shvach or Birchus Nair?
Okay, good question. So there's a difference in halacha between the Nair and Motzei Shabbos and the Nair of Yom Kippur. Motzei Yom Kippur. This coming year, Yom Kippur will be Shabbos, so then there's machlokas whether that difference applies in that situation. or not, because it is Motzei Shabbos. But the halacha is that the bracha that you make on Motzei Shabbos is a nair that you created, because it's a zecher of the creation of the nair of Eish, which took place Motzei Shabbos, of the Motzei the first Shabbos. The bracha that you make Motzei Yom Kippur is a totally different bracha. It's because since on Yom Kippur is different than the regular Yom Tov, you cannot use fire for any purposes, cooking, heating, etc. Where it's like Shabbos in that respect. So the whole Shabbos, the whole Yom Kippur, there is this nair here, and you didn't use it. And now you're able to use it. So you make a bracha on the benefit that you're getting from the nair which is here. That's why the halacha is that you have to have a nair which was there the whole Yom Kippur. But a nair which was only created Motzei Yom Kippur, you would not make a bracha on a regular Motzei Yom Kippur.
So that would be
along the lines of a birchas and a henin, mm-hmm. more than a birchas hashevach. Whereas Motzei Shabbos, because it doesn't have that requirement, so Motzei Yom Kippur, you start with a candle which has been there the whole Shabbos. It's a Yahrzeit candle. A person lights a Yahrzeit candle before Yom Kippur. So a person who's saying Yitzchak would light the Yahrzeit candle anyways will have a Yahrzeit candle. The minig is actually, by the way, that even a person doesn't have any of this, anybody say Yitzchak for, the Ramah brings as a minig to light on Ner Chaim. For each male who's married, there's a minig to light a Ner called Ner Chaim to represent their neshama. The Ramah brings the minig was to give it to the Shamish because people had the superstition that, you know, that if we go out over Yom Kippur, it's a bad sign. And of course, then they would tempt themselves to put it back on. So the minig was they would give it all to the Gabbai, and this way the Gabbai would light them, and he would know who's who. And so there is such a minig to light a Ner Chaim, which is so then you'll have a Ner Motzei Shabbos. Otherwise, even so, a person should light it. It is a mitzvah lachzer acher. It's a mitzvah to try and be able to make that bracha. Therefore, you want to prepare beforehand with a Ner which will last 24 hours, which you could then. Theoretically, another option which you would have is a nair which you lit. If a person would be keeping food hot for children, if he has a fire on, a gas fire on, so that would be theoretically you could light from that. You can really light from your pilot, etc. But I wouldn't advise making a bracha on that. But you light something else from that and make a bracha on that. One of the questions which comes up is the status of women in regards to birchas and nair. So. Women are chayav in Havdalah because same way women are chayav in Kiddush, so women are chayav in Havdalah. Because the Pasuk says Zohar, which is, it's a mitzvah shazman groma. It's a positive commandment which is time bound, which normally that means that women would not be chayav. But we know Zohar and Shomer are equated, and Zohar is the positive commandments of Shabbos. Shomer is the negative commandments that be careful, don't do something. So that's the negative commandments of Shabbos. Women are chayav in Shomer, they're also chayav in Zohar. So that's why they're chayav in Kiddush. What about Havdalah? So Havdalah is not Kiddush, but the Rambam puts it, the mitzvah of Kiddush requires that we say something unique about Shabbos at the beginning of Shabbos, something unique about Shabbos at the end of Shabbos. That's also part of the mitzvah of Kiddush. So women are chayav in that as well. So women are chayav in Havdalah. And that's Shechon Arpas and women are chayav in Havdalah. Now, are women chayav in Birchas Aner? Because really, Birchas Aner is an independent bracha from the Havdalah. So the Bir Halacha in Siman Reis Sanivav raises that as a question. Therefore, he says it's really preferable that women should not make the birchas aner themselves. But, like Rav Moshe points and others point out, it's any bracha we have the woman makes a bracha on lulav, even though she's not chayav in lulav. She makes a bracha on sukkah, even though she's not chayav in sukkah. She makes a bracha on shayfer, even though she's not chayav in shayfer. So she can make up this bracha as well. She can make a chayav herself in the bracha. So a woman can undertake to be mechayav herself in the bracha of birchas aner. I saw an interesting psak of Shlomo Zalman, the Shmuel Shabbos Hilchos brings that being said, since it's not a birchas achiyuv, it's only a birchas a bracha that they can be mechayiv themselves, that maybe they should change the order if they make havdalah for themselves and not say it as part of the havdalah. It would be a hefsek between the brepiyah gofen and the drinking. But the ma'aseh, the Iker Pesach is not like that. The women, if they would make havdalah themselves, they can make a bracha of birchas aner and they don't have to change the order. Using an electric light for the purpose of Nair for Havdalah. This is a famous story with the Chaim Reiser. That the Chaim Reiser would make a Havdalah on an incandescent bulb. So there's two questions are raised. The halacha is that a Nair Bashash is a Nair which is inside of a hurricane lamp. A Nair which is inside glass, you don't make a bracha on. You want to see it directly. So one of the questions you have with an electric bulb is you have glass around it. So some say maybe the glass was their glass is darker, our glass is clearer. The second question is that the bracha is borei me'orei ha'esh, and we make a bracha me'orei because there are different colors in fire, but in the kadesh above only has one color, so therefore maybe it would be preferable not to. So Chaim Horizer did it because he wanted to stress to people that this is esh, because the people were grappling, is this really fire? Is it also to use it on Shabbos? When it first was starting, what was its status? And the psak is that it is considered age, but that wasn't clear to people. So the Raga Chavar, Rav Chaim Moiser, the Rav Chaim Brisker, all made Havdalah. They used the brichas in here on an incandescent bulb for this purpose. You cannot use a fluorescent bulb or an LED because it's not age. And that the brichas bury Mereho age. For Nehra Shabbos, that's a different question. whether you can use it in Nehra Shabbos, because there the Lashon is the Hadik Nehr. It doesn't say Eish, it says Nehr. So is that considered a Nehr? So that's a separate argument. But regards to what's Shabbos, those are definitely not considered Eish. And therefore, okay, so let's. Minchas 45, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just one quick thought on the Parsha. It's interesting. The matter says that the Torah is Chalosu Gemilas Chasadim, Masavu Gemilas Chasadim. So where's the first Gemilas Chasadim the Torah says? It says that the Bershom gave Adarishan clothing. The Bershom cost this ore by Yalvishem. He gave them garments of ore and was Malbish them. I mean, the first test is the Bershom created the world. He created man, right?
Created Chava.
He created Chava. The first test, the more it says in sight, that Chalosu Gemilas Chasadim, he gave him clothing. So with Gemilas Chasadim, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So okay, that's the last thing which we have is that Rosh Hashanah took care of Moshe Rabbeinu with parshas as a bracha. He buried him. The first one is he created clothing. So you would argue possibly it means the first one the Adam Rishon was aware of was that but I think that was the clothing he was asleep when the Chava was created. I think the point is that not so much what a Kodesh Baruch Hu did. The question is what's the message to us? The message to us is that we should be like we should emulate the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we can't create man, we can't create a Chava, but we can be Malbish Arumim. So the lesson for us, the point is not so much that Torah is a nice book, but it's a book which teaches us about Gemilas Chasadim. I think there's an interesting other point over here. This is the first Chesed after the Chait. Right. So after Adam Rishon was Chaitik Klapei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? So what's Russia's reaction to that? Oh, you need clothing, I'll give you clothing. That's the starting point of Chesed. There's a Chesed which Russia created, as it were, when we were deserving to some extent. Russia, right? But the point of Chesed is you do it for something, not because he deserves it. This is the way the world is supposed to be, quote unquote, but it's because you do Chesed. And that's the starting point. So that even in this idea of Motzei Shabbos, Arishon is God, it's getting dark. There's no Caleb, I'll create light for you. He deserved light. He didn't deserve light. You know why it's dark? It's because of you. It's dark. It would have been dark. It's your fault. You don't have any clothing. It's because of your problem. You made the mess, so you clean it up. No, Russians. So that's the Russians chesed. And the lesson for us is that chesed is even to somebody who's undeserving. There's still a concept of chesed even at that point.